These last few months have been really full of changes. A lot of changes. And, you know, for all our married life, we've never really had any kind of, I guess since we're in Mexico, it's been the most consistent type of life we've had. Michigan and Texas and Texas and Michigan. And it made me realize the last few months just how much really, you know, I don't feel old, and yet I realize it's not the same as when I was in my early 20s. Changes weren't that hard. I mean, my girlfriend would say, how do you do it? Go back and forth and just pack up. But, you know, as you get older, it is harder. And the changes that have been, one of the biggest changes is Michael and Terry and Cole leaving. And besides being our son, and, you know, it's not that far away, 2 hours, but we lost our coworker, and that's hard. You know, it puts more pressure on Mike at the church. It makes us kind of scared. You know, we're kind of alone as far as missionaries. And that was a big, big change. You know, I begged him and thanked him not to leave. but you know, and even when I would say, you know, you're sure you ought to leave, you know, you're sure it's really the Lord telling you to leave, but it made me realize, you know, I don't want to hold him back from what the Lord has for him. But that's one big change. And the other is, of course, I went to the doctor to see about the change of life. And I came out here, it was a change of life, not the one I thought. But that's been a real adjustment for both of us. It's, you know, for all of us, I guess. But it's been a real adjustment. But, you know, one thing that is a blessing to me in all this, these last few months, because it's been just seemed like change after change, and I keep thinking, whoa, you know, slow down, I'm not ready for this, is that what the Lord is and what He has for us doesn't change. And that kind of keeps me, you know. If the Lord changed, if what He had for us changed, you know, that would be hard to handle. But to know that we have something steady, really, we have a rock. And that's something for me that's been a real blessing. I've been hanging on to that and finding, you know, the blessings that of all the things He has in store for us and what He is. And that doesn't change. And in 2 Chronicles 32, 7 and 8, sometimes what Billy spoke on a lot, it's been on my mind for quite a while, the obtaining, the running, sometimes you get kind of discouraged, and mainly I think, you know, I don't see it as much as I know the guys see it, the men that go out preaching every day, that go out and sometimes get no results, or, you know, there's not anybody in, there's not even anybody mad, and you see them come back in, and you see them wanting to kind of give up, like Bill said, and you want to encourage them, but, you know, it's kind of hard. You kind of want to say, well, yeah, you're right. It's not worth our time, you know. But it says here, be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God. Amen. To help us and to fight our battles. And that is such encouragement to me that we have God on our side. I mean, you know, Billy says sometimes, you know, you don't see the results, and you don't. But I, you know, it just really touched me, you know, that we want to see Him, you know. But we don't have an arm of flesh. We have with us our God, and He's there to fight our battles. Amen. He's there to help us. And that was just one of the things that has blessed me to know that no matter where the guys go, no matter what the deal is, you know, we have God on our side. I mean, what more can we want? And in 1 Corinthians 1:29, I'm not going to read all the verses, but it starts in verse 23 where it talks, you know, we preach Christ crucified. And I was thinking about, you know, why we're there. And a lot of people, I don't know, we've been accused of all kinds of things, you know, all the different missionaries in different cities. But what we're there for, and it's to preach Christ crucified. And it talks about the foolishness of God and what we are, you know, that not many wise, not many noble, all that. And verse 29, it says, that no flesh should glory in His presence. And it says in 30, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And I've been thinking a lot, you know, like I said, on running, on obtaining, but I thought, you know, we have everything. He's given us so much. He's unto us righteousness, wisdom, sanctification. And sometimes, you know, I think I'm not very wise in the Lord. I'm not, and yet we have everything we want, everything we need right here. It's all ours. And But we do have to reach out for it. We do have to run to obtain it, like Bill said. And in chapter 2, and I was thinking of young people. When Michael was, you know, talking of leaving and everything, Mike was pretty nervous. You know, he needed to throw, you know, his confidence without him and all that. And we were just talking about the young men that are preaching and all that. And it's been a real encouragement since Michael left to see that what they were taught, you know, was of God. I mean, the Lord, God taught them, and yet, you know, through the guys, but it was encouraging to see that they didn't, you know, fall back. And it's been through little instances, someone that gets up and shares and it's way off. And, you know, I know Mike's thinking, we look at each other and he's thinking, boy, I gotta get up and, you know, and get this cleared up. And before he has a chance, the young men will get up and just blast them, and not ugly, just real. I mean, it just, you know, with the word of God, and it's just an encouragement to us. And it's because they have the wisdom of God. And it goes on to say in verse 1, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified." And verse 4, it says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery." And then in verse 9 it says, "But as written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." And it's just made me realize, you know, we have all this, but the reason they are able to do it is because they have the wisdom of God. That, you know, they have sought it out, it's been there for them, they've sought it out and they have it. And it's not wisdom of men. It's not something Michael has taught them or Mike has taught them. It's, you know, they follow, they have searched the scriptures to see if it is true, and they have this. But to me, it's just been, like I said, what the Lord has for us. It says, "I have not seen nor you heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." And let's see. Then it says in verse 12, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." And all this is just ours. And I was thinking, you know, Billy was saying that some things are worth obtaining in this world. But I was thinking what God has for us, it says, you know, you can't imagine things that God has prepared for those that love him. And it makes you just kind of at least step back and think, you know, am I running to obtain the right things? You know, here I have this. Am I running to obtain this? And then Hebrews 13, it says, last night we were watching the swimming thing, and Mary Ellen Clark, I think it's him, the one that won the bronze last Olympics, and she won the bronze again, and it really hit me. They were saying, they were talking about her, and she was way down in line, then she got way back up in line, but she was still just in place with the silver medal. And they kept saying, "Is she going to get the silver? Is she going to get the silver?" You know? And Mike has been talking, we've been commenting on how, you know, the people that go, the difference in people, you know, Mexicans especially, they say they go to compete. And where other people say they go for the gold. Well, that one guy, I forgot where he's from, he took the medal off because he said he didn't come for that medal, he came for gold. And it really hit me, you know, she was running to obtain, and she really tried. I mean, you know, she really did. But they kept saying silver, silver, you know. I mean, the gold was out of question. And one, you know, when Billy was talking about obtaining, it hit me. She was talking, they interviewed her, and she said that she'd always had a desire since Mary Lou Retton was on the box of Wheaties to be on the box of Wheaties. So a friend gave her a box of Wheaties with a mirror on it. And, you know, she ran to obtain, and she got the bronze. But like Billy said, you know, that bronze medal won't get her on the box of Wheaties. The only way she's on that box of Wheaties is she's going to keep that box with the mirror on it, and every time she looks at it, she's on it. But, you know, I was thinking about that as missionaries, you know, to run to obtain. We don't, like, you know, when Billy was saying about the, you know, about the church in Leon, you know, and that goes with everyone, you know, Michael just wants to get it, but always with Arnie and Adrian, and to, you know, you don't want just to settle for one or two studies or whatever. You want the goal. And how do we get that? And it says in Hebrews 12:1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And all this has been going through my head when, and, you know, it just seemed, at least to me, it really, when Bill's message just kind of ties this together for me. But it says, let aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. You know, we are so easily beset by sin. I mean, like Bill said, you know, I feel like sometimes I just say, Lord, you know, I just, why do you even put up with me? I just can't seem to get it together. And yet, you know, it says, let us lay it aside and let us run with patience the race that's set before us. And how do we do that? Looking into Jesus.
Amen.
And, you know, he went through, he was man too, and he went through all this, but it says, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. And it brought to my mind when he was talking about the discouragement in Leon, Marty a while back, was real discouraged about her work. And it really hit me, you know. Different ones get discouraged, not just the men. Marty's gotten discouraged, and all these different ones get discouraged, but it says, consider him, Marty, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. And it's, you know, keep trying to run. You don't just give up, you don't, and you want to. I mean, I'm sure, like I said, the ones that are really out there in the, on the front line are the ones that really get discouraged. And then in 13:20, it says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. And this has been, this verse here has been something I've really hung on to this last year, because just when I, you know, I feel faint, when I just, or, you know, I look at Mike and I realize he's discouraged, and hear of others that are discouraged. It makes me, you know, and it makes you perfect. I mean, how am I going to do that? The sin that so easily does beset me, and all this, it says, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. He wants us to be perfect, but it says, him working in you. And he will do it in me, to whom be glory forever and ever. And that has just been a real blessing to me. How do we, you know, how do we obtain, like Bill said? And then my thoughts were to run that race, you know, lay aside that sin. I mean, I have to admit it, there's no use in covering my eyes that I don't get easily beset by sin. That verse just hit it right on the, you know, it just hits it. That lay aside every weight and the weights of this world especially, just get weighted down so easily, the cares of this world, the everyday things, and yet it says lay it aside and run that race. And it says he will make you perfect in every good work. Why? Because it is him that working in you that which is well pleasing. He wants us to be perfect, he wants us to be well pleasing in sight, and it's him that worketh in me to do that.
Amen. Thank you very much, sir.